Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you weren't quite sure what it was that was tugging at you, pulling at you, calling you. It's hard to describe when God speaks to you, when God calls you, when God pulls on you and wants you to do something or go somewhere and be a part of something. For example, I'm sure that all of us at one time or another, if not all of us, most of us, have seen a person in need. Someone broken down on the side of the road, perhaps. Perhaps somebody struggling to make ends meet. You know the situation, perhaps. Maybe you don't. Maybe they're just in dire straits. Maybe they're going through a rough time. And God nudges you to get involved. God may be encouraging you some way, shape, or form through the circumstances to maybe get involved in that person's life or to help out in some way. Well, if you were able to relate to one of those scenarios, what was your response? How did you respond to that person in need? How did you respond to that situation? Pat and I, a few years ago, had a young man show up at the worship service, not unlike this. It was at one of our services at Christ Church. And I saw the man sitting in the back of the room, a young man. And I kept looking at him, and he kept looking at me. And we went through the service, and he was sort of participating and whatnot. And after the service, he asked someone in the church that he wanted to speak to the pastor. And I said, okay. So I met with him afterwards, and I thought this kid sounded familiar, this voice, and this guy sounded very familiar. It turns out he was one of my Boy Scouts in my scout troop probably 10, 15 years earlier. He was homeless. He was a recovering addict, and he had come into Christ Church not knowing that I was the pastor. And he saw me, and we connected. Long story short, this young man had a drug problem. He was in recovery. And not knowing what else to do, and knowing the family situation somewhat as we were brought up to speed, we decided to take him in. We lived in the parsonage, which was right across the street. Big old Victorian home. We had lots of room, 5 bedrooms, so we had plenty of room. It was well within our capability of putting someone up. But we knew it was risky. We knew that people in recovery are sometimes up and down, up and down. And so we took Aaron in. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, he lived with us. I can tell you, there were some good times and there were some not so good times. Several times he let us down and he disappeared. And we found out that he had succumbed to the temptation. And it just became a situation where it was just too much for us to handle. But we felt like God was nudging us to do something. There was no reason not to help this young man, especially since we kind of knew him. And we kind of had, you know, a place in our heart for, you know, young people. And so we don't know where Aaron is today. But we hope that we planted a seed. We hope that we showed him love and that he could overcome his addiction. I do not know where Aaron is today. Only the Lord knows. But I often pray for Aaron, as does Pat, as we try to think about what kind of difference can we make in someone's life and how do we respond to these nudges from God. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to spend some time with the movie The Blind Side. How many of you have seen The Blind Side movie? Excellent. Excellent. Great movie. Strongly encourage it to be watched because it's just a great movie with a lot of good, good life lessons here. And we're gonna work on about 4 over the next 4 weeks that'll help us hopefully hear God's call on our hearts and draw us closer to Christ and what Christ intends for us. Now, as you know, those of you that have seen the movie know that it is based on the true story of a football player by the name of Michael Orr, who actually is a member of the Baltimore Ravens. He was drafted a couple of years ago by the Ravens and is their starting left tackle. Michael Orr is a kid from the other side of the tracks, if you will, from the other side of town. In fact, the part of West Memphis that he grew up in and then he lived in was called Hurt Village. It was a very depressed area, a very dangerous area for anybody. His mom is a crack addict. He has 13 or 14 brothers or sisters, and he really is not sure of that. And he really is illiterate, for all intents and purposes. Michael Orr didn't even know his real name. He thought it was Orr, but he finds out later that his real name is Williams. A guy by the name of Big Tony brings Michael to a Christian school one day because he knows the football coach there. And he brings Big Tony and another kid to the east side of Memphis, to the more affluent side of Memphis. And he asks the football coach and the school to give Michael and this other kid a chance. There's something about them that's very special. And as they watch these two kids play on the basketball court, they see Michael is agile. That Michael is big, 6'5", 350 pounds big, but he's also quick, extremely, extremely quick. He gets noticed by a very affluent, very well-to-do white family called the Tuohys. Sean Tuohy owns just about every fast food restaurant in the city of Memphis, Taco Bell's and all those. Leanne Tuohy is a very famous and in-demand interior designer. They have two kids, SJ and Collins, who's a cheerleader on the school's football team. The family, through their involvement with Michael, which those of you who have seen the movie, they see that Michael has some tremendous gifts. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a look at these, at four different aspects of this movie. And I've got a video clip that I want to show you in just a moment. Todd's going to run that in just a moment. To set the scene, it's a cold, dreary night near Thanksgiving. The family, the Tuohy family, is driving down a road. It's night. It's drizzly rain. It's cold. And they see this huge black kid walk in the streets with his suitcase. Now, his suitcase is like a Food Lion plastic bag with all the clothes that he owns in it. And he's walking along. And the mother asks, "Who is that?" I'm not sure where I'm going to catch the video, but that's probably on there. So let's just watch the video. I just want to set up the scene for you.
What is he wearing? It's freezing. What's his name again?
Big Mike.
Where is he going?
Hey, Big Mike. Where are you headed?
Jim.
Go ahead.
Turn around. Big Mike! Stop the car. Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Tuohy. My kids go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym? School gym's closed. Why were you going to the gym? Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Seen that look many times. She's about to get her way.
Come on. Come on. SJ, make room. Get inside. Come on.
Where are we going?
Home.
She's about to get her way. Turn the car around, Leanne says. They're going home from a volleyball game, and they see Big Mike, and there's a tug on Leanne Toohey's heart. Turn the car around. What would you have done? Here's a 6'5", 350-pound kid wandering the streets of Memphis in the rain. Would you have taken him home? Would you have fed him? Would you have clothed him? You know, this whole thing about the blind side, it's a fascinating title. The term comes from, it's a football term, basically, in this case. When a quarterback is throwing a pass, where's his blind side? If it's a right-handed quarterback, the blind side's back here. And so eventually in the story, Michael Orr becomes a left tackle to prevent the Lawrence Taylors and the other big defensive ends from getting to the quarterback. But sometimes God blindsides us as well. Sometimes God blindsides us and puts people in our path, or puts us in situations or circumstances where we need to make a choice. We need to make a decision, just like he did with Aaron, with Pat and I, several years ago. It's interesting that Jesus had something to say about how we care for those in need, how we respond to the needy among us, and the poor, and the hungry. And the scripture verse that came to mind on this is on the back of your program, and it's on the screen as well. And I'd like to read this passage to you, for it, I believe, is the foundation for this message today. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Jesus is talking about the end times, the 23, 24, 25 chapters of Matthew are all talking about the end, what will happen in the end. Jesus is giving us a preview as to the apocalyptic events that will happen prior to his coming. And in verse 25, he gives his listeners this message. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations, did you get that? Not just Christians, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked for me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, or invite you in, or needing clothes, or clothe you? When did we see you sick, or in prison, or go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.